So on Monday, I spoke about the breath. And on Wednesday, our dhyana heart meditation practice and how both of these practices serve as ways of becoming more deeply centered and aligned with inside oneself, how they are vehicles of transformation as one brings the light of one's higher self, the light of the transmission, the light of the path, down into the lower body, the nafs, the ego. This kind of alchemical process of transformation that takes place through the zikr and through being thrown into a space of expansion beyond yourself. This daily practice. And also how it is a gateway for experiencing the myriad connections between the living world that exists, between the immanent and the transcendent. And how the breath is both a central primary vehicle of being aligned on the deepest and simplest levels, and also a conduit of deep relationship and connection with life in all its forms. And how one's meditation practice prepares one to be able to listen, to be able to feel presence, to be able to cultivate love, to create space and emptiness so that something else can be heard inside oneself just as much as felt inside oneself. And this is our daily practice, to remember God in every moment with every breath, to put time aside each day, to be in silence, to cultivate the love in one's heart, to create space for something else to be present. And these practices do not happen in isolation, they do not happen in a cave, they do not happen in some remote corner of the world tucked away from life. They happen within the midst of life. And this is the Sufi way. Not to be removed from life, but to be present in life. It is a lay tradition, not a monastic tradition, it is a lay tradition. Sufis were potters and weavers, bakers, lawyers, craftspeople, mothers, fathers, going about their lives, remembering God and making time for silence and prayer. Understanding that there is really no separation between the inner and the outer. The outer is a reflection of the inner. The Sufi always seeks to go to the source of creation, which one first truly accesses from within, but then to recognize its reflection in the outer, in both the profound and the mundane, in the everyday. And the opportunity present there to begin to recognize the face of God wherever you turn, the intimacy that is present to experience the Beloved is in front of us every single moment of every single day. It is not only within, it is also all around us. And this way of being in life, of living one's spiritual life in the midst of life, is one of the foundational principles of this path, as you know. Solitude in the crowd. To live one's life in the midst of life while always being attentive inwardly towards God, towards truth, towards the divine. To live one's life without getting lost in the myriad forms of creation, so that one becomes inattentive to holding one's inner desire and attentiveness to be reunited with Source, to connect with the divine, the Beloved. We do not walk through life, our nose in the air, snubbing ourselves, saying, I'm pretending this isn't real, I'm just inwardly with God. No. We walk through life recognizing what life really is, an opportunity to grow as a human being, to be present to life as a human being. But not to get lost, because it is so easy to get lost. We human beings are very good at creating distractions. Individually, we're very good at it, and as a culture, we're exceptionally good at it. And we must learn how to be present with life for what it really is, without getting lost in the mirrors of what it isn't, and the delusions of what it isn't. To hold ourselves in two places at once, always, one foot in the inner and one foot in the outer. We walk along the shore, one foot in the infinite expanse of the divine and one foot on the sand of the created world, eyes wide open, firmly on the ground. The talk I gave yesterday, some of you were out walking. For those of you who are here, I gave a talk. It was about the importance of being grounded, the importance of being grounded in spiritual life. How it can be so easy to think that it is always out there, up here, versus right here in front of you, beneath your feet. That we must be able to live, function in the everyday. Not as special human beings, not as perfect human beings, but as human beings. Getting up in the morning, going to work, tending to our duties. Recognizing and functioning in this world for what it is. A world of cause and effect. A world that gives you endless opportunities to polish the mirror of one's heart. To reflect back what one's inner goal truly is. To be reunited with truth. One does that not in isolation, but within the midst of engaging with the everyday. One's meditation practice, as I shared on Wednesday, does not only exist on the pillow. It exists as we go about our day. Just like the breath is present every moment of every day, taking you from one space to the next, we exist in this constant interaction and flow from inner to outer. And there is a mystical secret that is present in the ability to be present within life and also fully present within. A mystical secret that reveals itself slowly over time as one's ability to be in both worlds deepens and deepens and deepens. One recognizes the importance of being aware of that thread of love which is present between the worlds. First, you have to focus within. You have to make this essential fundamental connection with one's true nature, with one's higher self, and through that to the beyond. One does not suddenly then get taken fully into that space. There's like a tiny sliver, a tiny crack, which has been opened in your heart. But in that crack lies a mystical secret. Because there is a light from one reality, from its essential source, that one can have access to. in a very, very, very diluted way, almost. Because we always start small. Just like I was saying, when one does this practice, this silent practice of the heart, of dhyana, you are thrown into this space of expansion over and over and over again. And you don't know where you're going, where you were, where you're coming from. You have no ability to perceive that space with this consciousness and this reality. It takes time. It takes time to be able to perceive that, just like it takes time to be able to be more present with the light and the crack that has opened in one's heart. Yes, at the beginning we can be shown these incredible experiences of love and light. They are these initiation experiences of the mystic. They are the experiences that awaken that true desire for truth, for God, for a life beyond the one we had been living. In Sufism, it is called tawbah, the turning of the heart. Something has been opened, the heart has been awakened. And we have this profound experience, this experience of love that we might never forget. It might never even be as great in our entire lives as that first moment. But we are hooked. We have tasted something. Something has been broken open. But then begins this slow process of slowly, slowly, slowly awakening to that reality. Of slowly, slowly, slowly letting the light in one's heart grow and grow and grow. From a spark to a tiny, tiny, tiny flame that over time grows and is tended to a fire that consumes one. But it is a lifelong journey. And the mystical secret lies within this space of what is opened. This mystical secret of being able to connect the light, this crack that has appeared in one's heart, with the world around us. As Sufis, we do not deny the world. We do not say this is not real, only within is real. We must not get caught in the world. It is such an important distinction. We do not deny the world, but we are not caught in the world. And so much of spiritual life at first is about saying no, 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 no. That is not real. I go within. And there is a little bit of that in Sufism at the very beginning, because usually we need to have a little bit of a container to start our journey. But even then, we don't dismiss the world. We don't begin our journey with 40 days and 40 nights in a cell. It still begins in the midst of life. Solitude in the crowd, inwardly to be present and outwardly to be with the people, with life, without being caught in it. And that mystical secret of being able to connect what is opened inside of one's heart to the way one goes about each day. One sees the reflection of the divine in the everyday. But one is still not caught in it. One still knows that it is not source, it is a manifestation of source. It is a reflection of source. There is something much deeper. We are in the middle ground. We do not only say it is only within, and we do not say it is only without. It is in both places. Because one can say everything is sacred and so focus so solely on being present in that reality that you forget where that sacredness came from. You forget where that sacredness came from. And you could be so present in this inner space of truth that you are not interested in anything other than the raw, unfiltered essence of the root of existence. And then you deny this because it is just some watered-down version of that reality. And the Sufi says no. I will walk in both worlds. And that is the mystical secret. This balance of awe and intimacy that I spoke about on Sunday. Awe of the unfiltered essence of creation, of God, of truth. And the intimacy of being able to experience it, to witness it, to feel its presence, to relate to it, touch, taste. To feel its grit, its darkness as well as its light. Now, traditionally, the way that the crowd is described is very much a human-centered crowd. The marketplace of life. The human world that can so easily pull us into its web of desire. And we lose the attention of being attuned to the source, attuned inwardly towards God. But of course, there is no such thing as a purely human-centered reality. That is our effort to create a space where we are in control. Every space that a human being is part of, individually or as a group, as a society, as a culture, is filled with the presence of other living beings. Even in the densest city, in the most urban of places, covered with concrete, we are surrounded by the presence of other living things. And I think it's very important that we frame this concept of solitude in the crowd, not being just a human crowd, but a crowd which encompasses all of creation. Because if we hold that consciousness in our awareness, we become closer to actually being able to understand this mystical secret. This mystical secret does not say one holds the essence of truth in one's being, one's heart. Inwardly, one is attentive always towards God, and outwardly, one is present only with human beings without getting lost in them. It is life. It is life. And when this principle was written down 800,000 years ago, I think their idea of a human-centered marketplace was very different than ours today. The way that life functioned, the way that it unfolded, was so different. The rhythms of the day were dictated by the light of the sun, by the rhythms of the seasons, by the harvesting and growing of crops, by the basic way that one functioned and went about one's life to sustain oneself. We were closer to the elements, we were closer to the earth, even in the centers of Baghdad, or these places that flourished. at the height of Sufism. But now I think it is time to reclaim the marketplace for what it is, to reclaim the crowd for what it is, to claim the way that we relate to the world for what it is, a space of myriad relationships in which the human being is only one party, one participant. There are many other beings in that space. And while it is much harder to get lost in the living world than it is to get lost in the web of desire and greed and things and human-centered experiences, one too can get lost in that world. And forget the source from whence it came. It's a much better kind of getting lost because one is fully immersed in an experience which is just a manifestation of creation without a veil of separation and deceit and collusion and desire that human beings can weave. But it is still not, from the mystic's perspective, the source. It is reflection, a manifestation of the source. So in some ways, the same rules apply. We have to be able to be fully present in creation. Even when it is so beautiful, and it is so profound, and it is so overwhelming, without being lost in it, that we do not forget where it came from. Because again, there is the mystical secret, always to be present with Source. One is in the ocean, and also at the mountaintop where that spring first uttered forth, that first drop. Because then there is a true honoring of every aspect of what it is. It's like for those of you who have grown a garden or grown an orchard or planted a tree, it is a very interesting experience to watch it grow into something that is alive in its fullest form. And you know the difference. You walk into that space and it's alive and it's fully formed. And it is incredible, it can be beautiful, overwhelming. But once you actually see from where it came and there is a connection between those experiences of the seed to its full expression, one understands, one is connected to the experience of manifestation in a different way. One becomes conscious in a different way. One is part of the process in a different way. One has been on the journey in a different way, and one is able to weave a space of connection, a thread of connection between that seed, that essence, and the fullest expression that it offers us. And as we walk through our lives, as we live in this world, that is the opportunity in front of us, to live that mystical secret within life. Solitude in life. To honor the one in the midst of life, in the midst of its diversity. Not to get lost in its diversity and not to be confined only to the one. And even holding a certain awareness in our consciousness about how we perceive the world changes our ability to be present in the world. If our concept of the world moves away from a human-centric based way of seeing everything to rather a space of relationship and conversation with other living beings, the more than human world, how we are able to be present in that more than human world shifts. We know where to put our attention and our gaze. Yes, naturally over time it is revealed to us. If we are present, just awake, aware human beings, we start to see things differently. We start to see the face of God. But if we hold our awareness and understand that in that awareness are many voices in that marketplace and in that crowd, we orient ourselves towards them in ways that they need to be seen. The power of orientation, the power of awareness. That marketplace, that crowd, is not just a human one. If we are going to find ways as mystics to be of service in the fullest way that we can at this time, it will be through these everyday opportunities to be present to this more than human crowd that is part of our lives. Cannot ignore anymore. It must be always in our awareness, always in our consciousness, always alive in our hearts. And not just the beauty and the grandeur and the intimacy of experiencing the divine in that form, but also bearing witness to the loss and the grief and the pain and the destruction that is present there. That is also what unfolds in the crowd, just as human suffering unfolds in the crowd. We cannot turn a blind eye. We are present there, present inwardly, always aligned, focused on truth, on the divine, and outwardly present, acknowledging, orienting, listening, bearing witness to what is unfolding And the best part of this is you don't have to do very much to be able to be in this space. You don't have to recreate your lives, as I was speaking about yesterday. You don't have to change very much at all. You need to look where you are and be present to that. 99% of the time, everything you need is going to be in one square meter around you, right in front of you, at your feet. For most of us, that is how we live our lives. We walk through the crowd. Everything is in front of us. Everything is around us. Everything we need to be aware of is so close, we don't have to change very much. The crowd comes to you. It's there. Life is there. I mean, if you just look at how Sufism functions, everything is about being present and attentive and working with what is already there. It's what is already there. Your breath, your step, the crowd, remembrance. Nothing is go there, do this, then something will happen. Breathe. Look at the top of your foot. Remember where you are going and why. Be inwardly attentive towards God while you are in the crowd, present in both places, not lost. It is so simple. It is all right in front of us. Because the mystical secret is not just about the ability to connect the worlds, but it is the ability to be present and experience and see those worlds. Because they want to be seen. Just as we want to see, they want to be seen, to be recognized. The beloved wants to be seen. The beloved wants to be loved. The beloved wants to be recognized. A human being wants the same thing. Just as a tree does, just as a bird does. They just don't do it on our terms. They're not asking for us to talk to them and have a personal conversation about our day and share our feelings. But they'd like to be recognized for what they are. Recognized for what they are. So when you see that form creation, you recognize it. I see you. I see you here, and I see from where you've come, and I come from there too. I come from there too. We are one. I come from there too. This is one form, and this is another. I come from there too. And there is such power in that recognition, such honoring in that recognition, such love in that recognition. And if we truly live that recognition, then it can change the entire way that this world functions. And for the Sufi, this is lived out. This mystical secret, this opportunity of recognition, this opportunity to see and be seen, to acknowledge that we come from the same place. We are different. We speak different languages. And we have forgotten how to listen to those languages. We used to learn them. We used to see their value. And the Sufi, the mystic, should learn those languages. But first, one needs to recognize, acknowledge from the depths of our being, to see and recognize we come from the same place. So, like all of the practices and principles in this tradition, there are layers. Layers and layers and layers of opportunity to deepen and deepen and perceive and see and engage and relate. At the beginning, it is just hard enough to focus on remembering God and not getting lost in the daily interactions of life and trying not to react and get caught in one's own lower nature. But as one learns, one develops spiritual sea legs, then one can see a bit more. It's like driving a car. When you first drive a car, you are gripping, focusing purely on trying to make sure you don't go off the road. Spiritual life is like that. Remembering God in the marketplace of life, this crowd, is like that. But everybody who drives knows it's not long before you only have one hand on the wheel. Music is on and you're able to have a conversation, you're able to look around, you're able to be present in different places. Now, it takes a lot longer spiritually to get to that place than it does behind the wheel. But it is not so different. Our capacity is much greater than we give it credence. And then we can be in different places at once. We can be holding our own in a conversation, engaged in some perfunctory, mundane interaction that is part of our life. We can be inwardly present with the divine, remembering God, acknowledging that human being as who they are, not caught in the web of desire, aware that they are part of something that is much greater. It includes other human beings and also the more than human world. It's a great symphony. It's a great conversation. And working with one's breath, working with one's practice of silence and remembrance, working with one's meditation, they help one be prepared to just expand more and more and more the ability to be in these myriad worlds at the same time. To participate in this mystical secret. And more is opened and more is seen. And let me tell you, It is not some one day moment that you wake up and you're enlightened. No. You just slowly, 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 slowly are able to be present more and more in the fullness of the divine. At the end, you might not even realize where you are. It's like you've just gradually gone from one place to the next. It's so slow, it's so gradual, but there is just a deeper way of being. Less of you is there. And you still have to get up and deal with everything about your life, just like you did before. Nothing changes. Your ability to perceive and be present in the crowd has grown. You can see all those connections, feel all those connections. They are all present. You are not caught in anything, but you are present in everything. And it all unfolds day in, day out. Chop wood, carry water, we talked about yesterday. We work with life, we get up each morning, we go about our days. And there is such possibility when one is able to be present with an experience that unfolds in life. Present with it, experience it, and not caught in it, not making it about us. Present in it, not caught in it, not making it about us. So that we're not standing there looking at the view saying, "This is a wonderful view for me." I'm enjoying this so much. But no, to be present in it, appreciate it, honor it, not caught in it, to make it about us. To taste that peach at the height of ripeness and perfection, to enjoy it and then let it go. It's also a mystical secret, to experience life at its fullness and then let it go. Not to be caught in it. Not to want to eat 10 more. To experience it, to experience the fullness of what is available without getting caught in it. To just be present to what is there as it appears around us in our lives.